How much is smicha worth nowadays? This is a question that Rishonim deal with on today's daf, on daf Hey in Masechta Sanhedrin. And that's why I'd like to devote a little time to discuss how much is smicha nowadays really worth. The Ramah brings down from the Sefer Nachlas Avos an interesting question. The Nachlas Avos asks, why do we bother giving people smicha nowadays? Let's just get rid of the whole institution. Because, says the Nachlas Avos, he doesn't understand what's the difference between a person who doesn't have smicha and a person who does have smicha. For the Nachlas Avos, smicha is basically worthless, at least contemporary smicha. Now, on the other hand, we know that in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, in the days of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, there was an institution of smicha which was passed down from Moshe to Yehoshua to the Zakenim, and that terminated during one of the Roman persecutions. And that smicha entitled Dayanim, who received it, to be dan dinei knasos, to give people malchus so that they could get atonement for various averos that they did, and other similar things. And that type of smicha will be discussed later in the Masechta, but everyone agrees that the chain of smicha that began at Moshe Rabbeinu, that comes together with the power to impose, you know, lashes and other things, no longer exists nowadays. So that certainly is not a valid answer to the Nachlas Avos' question, because the smicha that we have nowadays certainly does not entitle its recipients to be dan dine knasos and to give malchus, etc. On our daf, however, we discover a second form of smicha, which the Gemara calls netilas rishos. Taking permission, getting some sort of a document from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael or the Reish Galusa in Bavel, which declares that a person is fit either and to be more horos in Isser Veheter, to be dan dine mamunis, to judge monetary cases, or to be matir b'choros. Those are all forms of netilas v'shus which are discussed on today's daf. And the Gemara says that one nafkamina from this netilas v'shus is that a person who's a recipient of smicha from the Reish Galusa or of smicha from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, if he judges a monetary case and makes a mistake, he's not obligated to pay for it. And that's what the netilas v'shus helps him. It gives him, it absolves him of liability for errors in judgment. And so, the Rivash wanted to suggest tentatively, although ultimately he rejects it, that that is the significance of contemporary smicha. That a person who receives smicha nowadays and then makes an error, either in a ruling of Isser Beheter, he says that your meat is treif when it's really kosher, or in Dini Mamanis, he says that, you know, the other guy deserves the money even though you deserve it, that because he received smicha, he's absolved of liability for that error. This is what the Rivash wanted to suggest. But the Rivash leveled two questions against this possibility. He said, first of all, there's no Nasi nowadays, and there's no Reish Galusa nowadays. Those offices have been null and void for generations, and this was in the times of the Rivash, which was centuries ago. Hence, says the Rivash, the institution of Netilas Rishos, of smicha that stems and originates with the Reish Galusa and the Nasi, is null and void. And even, says the Rivash, if you'll tell me that this Netilas Rishos can span generations, as we indeed found in today's daf, where somebody was notel rishos from his father, who was notel rishos from Rav, who was notel rishos from Rabbi Chia, who was notel rishos from Rabbi, so clearly it can be passed along even to a later generation. However, says the Rivash, this makes sense only as long as the original office with which the smicha originated still exists in the world. So as long as that office exists, it can be passed on. Somebody who received smicha from one who held that office can pass on that permission to other people, even without going back to the original office holder. But all of that only exists when the office itself is still around. However, when the office of Nasi and the office of Reish Galusa disappeared, all of the smichos that they granted, all of the reshuyos, the permissions to judge cases that they granted, also became null and void. Because that permission and the absolution from liability that came along with it all stemmed from the power and the authority of the office of Nasi and Reish Galusa. And once the authority and the power of those offices ceased and became totally irrelevant, all of the power that derived therefrom also became null and void. So therefore, says the Rivash, there's no difference. Both a person who has not received smicha and a person who has received smicha, even if his smicha goes back to the Reish Galusa, are equally liable if they make a mistake in a ruling of Isser V'Heter or in Dine Mamonos. So that's two options that are not valid in terms of understanding smicha nowadays. The two options that are accepted are proposed by the Rivash and the Radach, Reb David Cohen, who was in early medieval Rishon. And these are the two options. Option number one is that the Gemara says a person has no right to paskin, to be more hora'a, without receiving rishos, without receiving permission from his Rebbe. This is what the Gemara says on Daf Hei Amud Beis. And although this netilas rishos is only necessary in a limited number of circumstances, as the Rishonim discuss, it may only be necessary for someone who's not a Talmud Chaver, somebody who has not yet reached close to his Rebbe's level in Chachma. It may only be necessary, let's say also under other circumstances, it may only be necessary when a person is coming to be mora hora bikvios, if he's coming to do it on a constant basis. But if it's on a random basis, so then maybe it's permitted. There are other differences that are necessary in order to reconcile those sugyos which suggest that netilas rishos is necessary with those that suggest that it's not necessary. But one way or another, the Gemara clearly says that under some circumstances, netilas rishos is necessary. And for that, says the Rivash, smicha works. Smicha essentially is a Rebbe giving permission to his Talmud to paskin, even close by to the Rebbe, even within 12 mil or a certain distance, where without Rishos he would be forbidden and prohibited from paskining and from adjudicating shilos and disputes. So says the Rivash, that's why smicha works. And lichaora, according to this pshat of the Rivash, smicha is only significant when it's received from a person's Rebbe. If a person receives smicha from a person who is not his Rebbe, if he goes to somebody in Eretz Yisrael or somebody somewhere else to get smicha, that smicha doesn't do anything for him, because the whole point of smicha nowadays, says the Rivash, is to give a person permission to paskin shilos within a certain circumference or diameter away from his Rebbe. The Radach, Reb David Cohen, offers a slightly different pshat, and he explains as follows. He says that nowadays, there are many people who paskin shilos, and some people who paskin shilos are qualified to do so. Other people, nebuch, paskin shilos, even though they're not qualified to do so. And the ordinary layperson has no way of differentiating who's fitting and who's well-learned enough to paskin and who is not. So therefore, says Rav David Cohen, contemporary smicha fills a role which is not a halachic role. It seems to be more like a sociological role. It lets people know who it deserves and who has the right and permission and who is capable and competent of paskining shilos, and to differentiate those who are competent from those who are incompetent. And the smicha basically is just somebody saying, I believe that so-and-so is competent to Paskin Shilos. And according to the Radach, so then contemporary smicha works from anybody. You could walk into a rabbi whom you never knew before, and he can give you a bechina on your Radeya, and then he'll say, I certify you that you're fitting to Paskin Shilos. And if that rabbi is known to a broader group of people, so then his smicha will be accepted and as a certificate of competency by the entire group of people who are familiar and who trust that Rav in terms of the smicha that he gives. So just to summarize, we found that there were five possibilities about why smicha works nowadays, and only two of them were accepted halacha l'maisa. The first is a nachas avos, who says it's worthless. The second is that it works for people to be dan dine knasos, or give lashes, which clearly doesn't apply nowadays because it requires smicha back to Moshe Rabbeinu. The third was that it helps to absolve the dayanim of liability for incorrect psak, and that also the Rivash said didn't work because it was contingent on the existence of the offices of Reish Galusa and Nasi. And finally, the two which we said do work nowadays is first the Rivash, who says that the purpose of smicha is to give a Talmud permission to paskin in those circumstances where he ordinarily would not be allowed to because of the proximity of his Rebbe. And the Radach said that it's like a certificate of competency that lets people know that this person is worth and is competent and worthy of giving a psak. I just want to make two other quick ha'aros about the nature of smicha nowadays. First of all, the Bali HaTosfos all say that even if a person is notel reshus from his Rebbe, even if he takes permission from his Rebbe, he still is not allowed to paskin within three parsaos of his Rebbe. Netilas reshus does not work for paskining with that close proximity to one's Rebbe. And the Rishonim and Achronim explain that netilas reshus is something which is akin to mechila. A rabbi can be mochel on his kavod. He can say, I don't mind if you withhold certain honors and from me and you refrain from giving me certain kavod that I really deserve. However, the iser for a Talmud to paskin in extremely close proximity to his rabbi is not a function of the concern lest he infringe on his rabbi's kavod. Rather, it's a function, the Gemara says in Ksubos, that he doesn't have the proper siyata d'shmaya, which is necessary for psak halacha. Ordinary psak halacha, when a posik answers the shayla, he receives a special siyata d'shmaya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that helps him pass in the shayla the right way. And in a case where he's too close to his rabbi, that siyata d'shmaya does not rest upon him because of the reasons that the Gemara discusses over there. And therefore, according to this, smicha shouldn't help a person, should not give him permission to paskin within that proximity of his Rebbe unless certain other conditions are fulfilled that allows people to paskin even closer to their Rebbe. That's one point. If the purpose of smicha is to give one permission to paskin, then it doesn't work across the board. And then second of all, there's the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam bring down that a person who receives smicha from someone else has to show extra deference to the person who gave them smicha, whether that person is their Rebbe, whether that person is not their Rebbe. So that would seem to suggest that smicha is not merely a certification, nor is it merely reshus from a person's Rebbe, but rather it's some form of conferring authority from the somech on the nismach, from the person who is giving to the person who is receiving smicha, and that may necessitate an entirely different perspective on contemporary smicha, one which does not fit within the five or within the two options that seem to be accepted about why smicha works. And that's something that will leave you to ponder and maybe address at some later time.